In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Venerable religious, dear parishioners, last Sunday I spoke about how Advent is really Marian. When we think of Our Lady bearing our Lord for the 9 months before He was born, I mean, how can we exclude our Blessed Mother from observing Advent? She's so much a part of it. She was prophesied in the Old Testament, and then with the Incarnation, the New Testament beginning, she's bearing the Messiah. Because of her feasts that occur this week, I feel compelled to speak more about our Blessed Mother and about her mediation. We have not only the Holy Day of Obligation tomorrow and the Patronal Feast of the United States. On Wednesday, we have Our Lady of Loreto, in which we celebrate the transferring of the House of Nazareth, at least its upper part. It was brought by angels to what was then Dalmatia, and then later on, and this is about 700 years ago, brought to Loreto, Italy. And you can literally kneel and pray and visit the home, the first story. I've seen also the lower part of it, which looks more like a basement, and that's in Nazareth. But you can visit both places, and you can, even more so in Loreto than in Nazareth, literally be inside where the angel Gabriel appeared, where the incarnation happened, where Jesus grew up as a child, where Mary and Joseph, the entire Holy Family, lived. You can touch the same stone walls that Jesus touched, that Mary touched, that St. Joseph would have touched. So what a gift, the Holy House of Loreto. That feast is on Wednesday. And then Friday, Our Lady of Guadalupe. So how can I not talk about Our Blessed Mother on this Sunday? As you know, and I commented on this, the modernist Vatican seemed to grudgingly say, well, Mary is the mediatrix of all graces and co-redemptrix, but don't talk about it because it will be a stumbling block to ecumenism. As though there's not a whole host of other doctrines that are a stumbling block to non-Catholics. Why single this out? Maybe they find it a bit more repellent, both modernists and other heretics. But that is the teaching of the Church, and it's been there for centuries. The fathers and doctors of the Church have talked about how our Blessed Mother was asked to be involved in the redemption, not because Jesus absolutely needed her. He doesn't need anyone. But He chose to involve her, just as Eve was involved in the fall of the human race with Adam, so a woman is needed to be involved in the restoration, the redemption of the human race. So they talk about this. And her mediation of all graces flows from her being co-redemptrix. You know, not only conservative Catholics have pushed back very mightily against this latest modernist false ruling, you might call it, but even, thankfully, Vatican II commentators themselves are saying, why are you trying to suppress this doctrine? What sense does it make anyway? Oh, we have the truth, the true doctrines here in the Catholic Church, but we can't talk about some of them because you won't like them. So fortunately, there's been pushback there. The Orthodox, the schismatic Orthodox that deny the papacy, they believe that Mary is co-redemptrix and mediatrix of all graces. And they're saying, why are you doing this? So mediation, let's talk about that for a bit. You know, Protestants love to quote that part of scripture, and I'm sorry, I can't remember about, but it's about Christ as the one mediator with the Father. And that's absolutely true. We go to Jesus, or rather to the Father through Jesus. We are allowed to pray to the Father directly, but St. Paul makes it very clear that we need the mediator with the Heavenly Father. As a matter of fact, every Mass is a mediation. Jesus in his human nature will mediate for us. He'll repeat the same sacrifice he did on Calvary in an unbloody way, and he will offer on our behalf, in our being in union with him, infinite adoration, infinite thanksgiving, infinite atonement, and infinite supplication. So our Lord is mediating for us in the highest possible way. But this doesn't mean that all other mediation is to be rejected. As a matter of fact, the Bible is full of examples of mediation, how God works through other human beings. He worked through Noah. Noah was a mediator. God didn't talk to his whole family. He talked to Noah, and he mediated. God did the same with Abraham. He also did the same with Moses, the greatest mediators in the Old Testament, or among the greatest. God mediated through the prophets. God mediated through King David and through King Solomon. In today's gospel, we read about St. John the Baptist. St. John the Baptist is a mediator. He's called upon by God to go prepare the way for the Messiah. That's mediation. He's carrying a message. He's baptizing people in the Jordan. People are asking him to pray for them. Think about this too. Our own parents are our mediators. As we were born into a family, grew up in a family, our parents are mediating. They have God-given authority. They pray for their children. They act as intermediaries. That's the very essence of the natural law, the way things happen in families, how we all grew up. So mediation is everywhere. I guess that's the point I'm trying to make. St. Paul asked his fellow Christians to pray for him lest he become a castaway. Weren't the apostles mediators? Didn't our Lord say, go spread my teachings, go teach, rule, and sanctify in my name? I could go on and on, but the point has been made. So having understood how mediation is everywhere, Our Lady's mediation is that she was involved in the redemption in a cooperating way. And Jesus wants her to distribute graces because she is our spiritual mother. Just as we have a father, spiritual father in heaven, we have a spiritual mother. And that's Our Lady's mediation. And if you ever doubt how powerful her prayers are, not that you should, I don't think you do, but just in case you have that temptation, just read again about the miracle of the water being changed into wine at Cana. Jesus said, "Woman, my time is not yet come." do whatever he tells you. Isn't that the most amazing, powerful mediation you have ever heard of? Where it seemingly goes against the will of God. Not that Our Lady would ever go against the will of God, but she knew her power with him. He knew that he would say yes if she asked. So there should be no doubt whatsoever that this is part of our Catholic faith. It's been taught, and that's good enough. That's all we really need to know. But it only makes sense also. I would like to read just a little bit of what St. Louis Marie de Montfort says from True Devotion. And this is chapter 2 on the fundamental truths of devotion to the Blessed Virgin. And he makes clear in the first fundamental truth, Jesus is the last end of devotion to Mary. And I don't have time to read all of this, but St. Louis really becomes so eloquent. Jesus is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is our only master who has to teach us, our only Lord on whom we ought to depend, our only head to whom we must be united, our only model to whom we should conform ourselves, our only physician, our only shepherd, our only way. As I said, very eloquent, very powerful, very convincing. But as he explains, Jesus wants us to make use of Our Lady's mediation. And then I skip to the fourth truth. We need Mary as our mediatrix with our mediator. Yes, Jesus is our divine mediator with the Heavenly Father. I talked about that already. But he says, have we not need of a mediator with the mediator himself? Is our purity great enough to unite us directly to him and by ourselves? Is he not God in all things equal to his Father and consequently the Holy of Holies, as worthy of respect as his Father? Let us say boldly with St. Bernard that we have need of a mediator with the mediator himself, and that it is the Divine Mary who is the most capable of filling that charitable office. So as I said, this feast we have these wonderful, sweet, inspiring feasts of Our Lady. Tomorrow we're going to celebrate how God prepared his own mother as a most pure vessel. That's why she absolutely had to be free from sin. In every way, because then God would have not made a mother worthy of himself. That's her Immaculate Conception. And then he was raised by her at Nazareth, the house of Loretto. And she's our mother. Just read again and again the words of Our Lady to Juan Diego. Am I not here? Who am your mother? May you have a grace-filled Marian observance of this holy and beautiful Advent season. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.